Well, today is a very special day, as you know, in the life of our church as we confirm our class of 2024. And part of what they do in preparation for this Sunday is they write a class creed. And I think we have it, Tom, don't we, for the screens this morning? And I would like to invite you to stand and join me and our confirmation class of 2024 as we affirm our faith together using their class creed. The words can be found on the screens. Let us unite our voices. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of all creation, who art in heaven above, the forgiver of sin. We believe in Jesus, the only Son of God, the Prince of Peace and Lord of Lords, who died for our sins, was resurrected 3 days later, and will come again. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who walks with us eternally through every challenge we face. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Confirmation Class, for writing such a wonderful affirmation of faith. Let me get my screen pulled up here. Handy-dandy screen. I thought y'all might like some visual aids for the second service. Help you guys stay tuned in to the message. So the scripture text for this morning that I would like to share comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And Justin read it for us earlier. I'm not going to call you up here, Justin. I'm going to give you a break. But he did such a great job this morning reading. And if that is going to cause problems, we will just do without it. How about that? I don't like distractions. But thank you, Justin. You did an excellent job this morning. So let me read for us our text from Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse number 41. Now every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. And when the festival was ended, they started to return. And the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. And after 3 days, they found him in the temple. And he was sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why are you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and years and in divine and human favor. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The passage that you saw on the screens up there was out of the New International Reader's Version. So it's what we find a lot of youth and children's versions of the Bible. But I was reading out of the NRSV. Apologize for the discrepancies on the screens with that this morning. But let's pray, and then I want to bring you a little word of for our confirmands and also for the rest of us. God, thank you for your holy word that is like bread to our souls, like water to our hearts. And God, we pray that as your scriptures are proclaimed today, and as we continue to meditate upon them, that you would be glorified, Lord, for your work among us. Even today, We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this story is a fascinating story. It is the only place we find it in the Scriptures, only in Luke's Gospel. And what we find happening is Jesus and his family are making an annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And every year they would go. Every year the Passover was celebrated there. And so Jesus and Mary and Joseph and others from Nazareth would make that pilgrimage to go and celebrate Passover in the holy city. This would have been a memorable moment every year in their life together. Now, as we think about how this story may have gotten in the Bible, there's a little clue that we find in the text that may help us to understand how Luke got this story. We read in verse 51 that Mary treasured all of these things that happened in this particular instance. She treasured these things in her heart. In other words, she made an emotional and a memory scrapbook. Because, you know, it says at the very beginning that everything sort of went to plan as it usually did until something unexpected happened. What happened? Jesus comes up missing. Mary and Joseph lose the Son of God. So they are returning at the end of about 7 days of celebrating, and they start to head with the caravan back up to Nazareth. There are probably thousands of pilgrims making this trip, and somehow or another they probably thought, well, Jesus is with the cousins, or Jesus is with the neighbors, or someone else, and they just assume that he's there. They go for a whole day, so they travel probably 5-6 miles, and they realize somebody's missing. Uh-oh, where's Jesus? Probably during lunchtime. They all sit down to get ready to eat, and, you know, Jesus would have come to mama to get fed, right? Because that's what kids do. They come to mama to get the sandwiches and all that stuff when they're traveling somewhere, and Jesus is not there. So they panic, as parents do when our children come up missing. I'm sure that Jesus probably was panicked a little bit. Y'all ever been lost? Yes, I know I have been lost. I got lost one day in the TWL store in Calhoun City, Mississippi, when I was a little kid. And it was the most frightening, terrorizing experience of my life. And parents, they sort of freak out too when kids go missing. It may not be but for 3 seconds, but it feels like an eternity, doesn't it? So they go back into the city. They search for Jesus. One day, 2 days, 3 days go by. 3 whole days, and finally they find him. And where is he? He's in the temple, isn't he? He's in the temple, and he's sitting and listening to people teach. You know, somewhat what these confirmands have been through over the last several months. They've been sitting, listening to a lot of teaching, trying to explore the doctrines of our faith and the history of our church and all of those sorts of things. They've been learning and growing in their faith. And this is what Jesus is doing when they find him. And then Jesus rejoins the group and they continue on their journey. Now, there's a couple of lessons that I take away from this story that come in the last verses about what is said of this experience. And the first thing that we learn about is that when Jesus goes home, verse 51 says, he was obedient to his parents. Now I find that very interesting, that Jesus was obedient. He's the Son of God for sure, but he's also their son. He's Mary's son. And it says that Jesus submitted himself in obedience to them. And I have to think that the reason Jesus does that is because he follows the Ten Commandments. The fifth of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and mother. And what does that mean? It means to show your parents respect. It means to love them. It means to appreciate them. Guys, y'all aren't here today without your moms and dads. Yes, Riley Claire, they do deserve a hand, don't they? Yes. Thank you, moms and dads. Thank you, parents. Because many of you came here about 12 years ago with your babies, and you had them baptized, and you took vows saying, did I say that right? The baby agreed. Yes. So they were baptized, and we make vows as a church and as family members that we will help guide them to faith in Christ. And that's what today is all about. And the way we learn and grow in our faith is by submitting to our parents and by respecting them and loving them as they deserve. And Jesus did that. And that should be an example for us. Y'all, I was watching a Netflix documentary a while back. It was about Garth Brooks. Any Garth Brooks fans in the house? Friends in Low Places? But in this documentary, y'all, I've watched Garth over the years because I kind of grew up with his music, you know, back in the 90s. That was kind of my generation. And he said something in that documentary that has stuck in my mind. And he was talking about his father and the influence his father had on him and how much he loved and respected his dad. And y'all, my dad died when I was in my early 20s, and so this really struck home with me. He said, you will never love your parents more than when they are gone. And y'all, I've always remembered that because it's true, isn't it? For those of you that have lost parents, you know the sting of that truth. That sometimes when we're living, we can underappreciate the people that God has put in our lives. But when they're no longer with us, boy, we wish we had them back. And we realize just how deep our love is for them. And so my challenge for you confirmands and for those of us others here that hear that is what can we do today to show our parents how much we love them? And I want to challenge you guys to do that. Because in showing that love, you are honoring and respecting them. And you are following the fifth commandment. There's a second thing here, a life lesson that I find in the story. It comes in verse 52, where it says that Jesus grew. He grew in wisdom, and he grew in stature, in favor with man and with God. And as I thought about what it means to grow in wisdom and stature, I think the second life lesson is this, is that Jesus grew in wisdom as he grew up. As he got older, as he matured in through adolescence and into adulthood, he was also growing in wisdom. And what we need to understand is that we are to grow spiritually as we grow physically. That's kind of how it works in very much the same way. And so the challenge for us is what does it mean to grow in wisdom? What does it look like for us as people of faith to grow in wisdom? It means that we have a biblical understanding of what wisdom is all about. And wisdom in the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, involves two things. It involves knowledge and growing in our understanding of the world and how it works and understanding who we are and who God is. But wisdom is about taking that knowledge and applying it to our everyday lives and letting it influence the decisions that we make. Let it impact the choices we make. And in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, what does it mean to fear God? You know, sometimes we can get that sort of confused. You know, is it a terrifying kind of fear? Are we supposed to fear God like we fear snakes? By the way, we don't have any snakes in here today. We're not that kind of church. But I'm terrified of snakes. When I see a snake, it runs cold chills over my body. I was mentioning the story earlier that Friday I was riding my bike on the trace, and I had to get off to get some water, and the grass was grown up all next to the road. And I'm booking along, and I'm getting passed by some log trucks, and so I'm scared for that. But while I'm trucking along, I run over a snake, a big snake. I mean, it was like hitting a log. It was like boop, boop on the bike. And every detail of that snake sticks in my mind. I have dreamt about that snake. Is that correct English, Miss Sandra? I dreamt about that snake or dreamed about that snake. We'll take that up later. But I've had dreams about that snake over the weekend, and it was a big brown snake, and thank goodness it didn't move. It just laid there. I think it was more surprised than I was that I ran over it, but it's caused me to be terrified. Are we supposed to have that kind of fear towards God? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we are supposed to fear God because He is the Creator. We are to show God the utmost respect because, let's face it, if He wanted to take us out, He could. And at the end of our life, we will face the Lord in judgment for our life. So I think there is to be a measure of fear there. But when the Bible talks about fearing God, it means to have a reverence toward God. It means to respect God and to be in awe of who God is. He is the Creator. He is all-powerful. And at the end of the day, He's God and we're not. So part of that fearing God is about knowing our limits. It's knowing who God is. He's the Almighty. He's the Creator. He has shown us how to live in His holy word. And so we are to honor that and to live in reverence of His word and what He has taught us. That apart from Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. Right, guys? Y'all have learned about that. But thanks be to God who has made us alive through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's why we're here today, is because of that hope, because of that faith, and because of that promise. So we don't have to fear God in that way, but we are to know our limits. We are to know who He has created us to be. And y'all, we did have a medical emergency in the early service. A lady in the service had an episode. We had to pause the service and pray and await the medical personnel to come in and take Miss Vicky to treat her. I'm so thankful for our team. I see Anthony back there. He's done the training for all of our church staff and volunteers. And y'all, we just had a training yesterday. And thank goodness we're able to put that all into action. But you know, God didn't create me to be a medical doctor. I don't know that I could keep a straight mind in the panic of a moment like that to know what to do. My brain doesn't have the capacity to remember all of the names for the anatomy of the human body and know what drugs treat and how to do all of this stuff. God didn't gift me that way. I know my limits. But God has called me to ministry. I do love His word. I love studying and teaching the Bible and helping people to find faith and serving people in their most vulnerable moments. So I know my limits. And while I may not be able to do everything, I can do something. And guys, God has gifted you that way too. You've probably been told your whole life you can do anything you want to do. But you can't. I'm sorry to break the news to you. We have our limits, but you can do what God has created you to do. All of us can. And that's all God expects of us, is to use the gifts He's given you to serve others. That's the purpose that God has given to our lives. And so fearing God is knowing those limits of who we are and who we've been created to be through Christ. And today, Confirmands, we celebrate that you are following in the way of Christ. You are professing your faith in Jesus and a desire to live and love like Jesus. And part of that means being obedient, honoring and respecting your parents, knowing that they're not perfect. They make mistakes just like Jesus' parents did when they left Him behind in Jerusalem. Our parents aren't perfect, but will you forgive them when they're not? And also, we are called to grow in wisdom as we grow up. And the way we do that is by fearing God, by honoring, revering God in our hearts and knowing our limits. So that's my prayer for you guys as we celebrate you today. And y'all, that's the invitation to all of us, is are we following Jesus in these ways and following in the way of Christ? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this holy moment in the lives of these students. Thank you that it is the culmination of several years of service by these families and by our church community in helping to bring these students to this place of faith today, of reaffirming or making firm their faith in you. And God, just like them, I pray for all of us that our hearts would be open and surrendered to you and to your word, that we would seek to follow Christ and live as his light in this world, as we show others through our everyday living what it means to be truly wise and how you have taught us to live as your disciples. And part of that means obeying your word and honoring our fathers and mothers. So Lord, help us to do these things and give us grace when we fail. We pray all of this in Christ's holy name. Amen.